This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report on HUD Section 3, an organizing opportunity for winning jobs in our neighborhoods. Within the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD Section 3 is nothing new after 45 years of enactment, but it remains a powerful weapon for creating employment in low-income communities that is more often left in the holster than used effectively. Simply put, Section 3 requires HUD contractors to give what we used to call first preference to qualified residents when making new hiring decisions. This is not a set-aside for businesses like most of the programs, but an individually driven hiring program. That is, if workers in the community know about it, if anyone in HUD or the local housing authorities are paying attention to it, and likely if there's an organization that's actually working in a low-income community, kicking both of their buns to make sure Section 3 is not a dead letter but a real job creator. I was reminded of the power and promise of Section 3 and the too often pathetic performance by an article in Shelter Force by Katie Reckdahl that spoke of lifting the fog on Section 3. Reading the article, it was clear there was less a fog than a problem of indifferent and non-existent follow-through and enforcement by those responsible, or as she wrote, agency administrators spoke in a chorus on one point. No Section 3 jobs program would work without stringent monitoring. Hello. And let's be clear, the monitoring at every level sucks. Before 2006, HUD only got 4% of the required Section 3 reports from local and state governments and housing agencies. Now the figure is up to 25%, but that's still a failing grade everywhere. Worst, most should get both Fs and incompletes, because 80% of the reports, according to HUD testimony to Congress, indicated that they failed to meet the minimum goals and did not include valid explanations for this failure. The loopholes Swiss cheese the program as well. They're required to hire low-income workers for 30% of the new hires. There are no requirements that their work will equal 30% of the hours billed on the job. So some contractors churn the jobs by hiring a crowd of workers for short-term, even one-day stints as laborers to make the numbers required at the lowest wages they can skate by with. Training also is defined as to the greatest extent feasible, providing another loophole, which some smarter agencies have abandoned to prevent contractors from shrugging off the requirement by saying no one could make muster. All of which makes tailor-made Section 3 for community organizations trying to deliver jobs to their members when there are large and small construction projects happening in housing projects. It's a straight-up fight where everything is on our side, and it's possible to negotiate not only jobs, but the tools to make sure members get the jobs, from record inspection to hiring observations to even union cooperation and helping populate apprentice programs that are often searching for applicants. The targets are dirty, the meetings are public, and there are jobs waiting to be won if we're willing to get back in the saddle and ride hard on these outfits. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.